Governor David Ige has until next month to let lawmakers know what bills may be on his veto list. His staff is currently reviewing other bills for him to sign or for passage without his signature. He sat down with us yesterday afternoon to talk about some high points and low points, including the challenges of keeping his cabinet together for his final term. On Friday, the deputy director of the Agriculture Department, Glenn Muranaka, stepped down after just being approved by the Senate.
Well, I mean, I think that we continue to make progress in the most important areas. They agreed and funded many of our requests for homelessness, again, focusing on housing first and making sure that, you know, when we can place homeless individuals in permanent housing, we do find that we are more successful in reducing the number of homeless all across the state. And for the third year in a row, the number of homeless in the point in time count is actually down again. So for three consecutive years, for the first time that I can remember in a very, very long time, we actually have fewer homeless here in the state. And, you know, we continue to work through that. As you know, the lieutenant governor has been very active in especially the chronically homeless, those who are mentally ill or with substance abuse challenges. And, you know, there were, so the legislature agreed for our budget request on homelessness. As part of that, the lieutenant governor was asking for making it a little bit easier to administer medication for mentally ill individuals, so that we can get to a point of helping them.
You've got a deadline out there looming as far as bills that you might veto. One of the big ones, I think, is the vacation rental issue.
I haven't had a chance to review the final legislation, but I do hear it more and more in our community that they're concerned about vacation rentals. It has permeated virtually every community across the state, and you know, we need to do a better job of collecting taxes owed, as well as helping counties to regulate vacation rentals. And so, you know, I'll be looking at the measure with that lens and trying to make sure that we can do a better job of collecting taxes and then making sure that they comply with county regulations.
The numbers as far as what could be collected, it's enticing because, you know, we could certainly use that money to fund programs like homelessness.
Certainly, but I think the concern that I have is the unintended consequences. You know, we do see an explosion of vacation rentals, and it impacts us in two different ways. On one, in as much as I'd like to see the continued increase in the number of visitors here, because the number of hotel properties have been pretty flat, most of the growth is really coming from short-term vacation rentals. And I hear it from the community more and more. They're concerned about getting too many tourists here. And so I definitely want to make sure that we're not facilitating illegal activity. You know, and we know that we need to do a better job of investing in the infrastructure so that the vacation rentals don't have so much of an impact on the local community. That is very, very important, especially, and we've seen the dramatic difference. And I know that we had flooding in Hanalei, which has reduced the number of visitors who could visit Hanalei. And as you know, we've reissued a new master plan for Haena State Park that we're trying to reduce the number of visitors that go up to that North Shore area. But so we need to manage and be aware that vacation rentals do bring more visitors here, and that they are beginning to have an impact in our community. The second part of that is vacation rentals do have higher economic value, and we are taking homes and apartments out of the rental market for local residents and, you know, converting them into vacation rentals, and that exacerbates our housing shortage.
Right, the housing and homelessness situation, really all related. If we could go back to homelessness, I know that there's just this rub between the state and the city and the enforcement of the rules, particularly in Kaka'ako.
Actually, we've been working together. As you know, Mayor Caldwell and I have been working, and We've made arrangements to transfer the parks in Kakaako to the city so that they can more seamlessly enforce in the parks in that community. And so we've been working on a couple other things. We have a pilot program for law enforcement assisted diversion. So it's sort of like drug court, except it's where police officers, and we're focused in Chinatown, would have the ability to take a homeless individual who is alleged to have committed a property crime. And offer them to move into a homeless shelter rather than moving into jail. So we are working with the Honolulu Police Department. We believe that it can be effective in moving those who are chronically homeless, especially, and encourage them to move into a shelter or
yeah, get off the street.
Right, get off the street. I think the challenge is, and you see it, especially in Kakaako Park, that there are different rules that apply to sidewalks. And so we have to give those who are on sidewalks 24 hours notice, you know, that they are not allowed to be there. And then, you know, we have to, if it's a public park, they're entitled to be in the public park. But once the park closes, then they have to vacate the park premises. And so, you know, there are still a couple of gaps in our ability to enforce, or the county's ability to enforce in Kakaako. It's amazing how homeless individuals find every single loophole that they can to find a place for them to be able to stay. And so we continue to work with the county to make sure that we can do a better job of keeping public spaces public.
The issues with the Bowie prison, mm-hmm. What's the latest?
Well, I mean, I think we have recognized that all of our jails all across the state are overcrowded and antiquated. And, you know, we've made appropriation. It's been a priority of mine going back 4 sessions to expand capacity in all of the jails all across the state. And so, you know, clearly Maui Community Correctional Center is another facility that is overcrowded. If you've gone to the facility, and I actually visited the facility to see how much space for individuals, because the census is so high, 4 individuals share a cell space that is 96 square feet. And that is just too many people in a too limited space. But that's what we have to do because of the numbers that have been ordered to the jail by pretrial detainees or those with sentences for a year or less.
Well, do we have room? I mean, can we bring some of those folks over there from Maui here to Honolulu to take the pressure off?
I mean, I think the challenge is that all of the facilities are over capacity, or at least
they're tapped out.
Right, they all are. And the one facility that we still have space is the Federal Detention Center. And, you know, Federal Detention Center has limitations on those that we can place in that facility. You know, and the challenge is, if we remove them from Maui, then, you know, in terms of people wanting to visit or other kinds of access that that they are entitled to, it would become a lot more difficult.
And as far as the guards?
We are trying to fill all of the vacancies that we have in a public safety department. The overcrowding doesn't help at all. We continue to advertise and recruit and then train ACOs. I was able to visit and talk with some of the employees there. I thank them for their public service. It is amazing what they do with the limitations that they have. A very, very antiquated facility, physical limitations on the facility itself. But they do a great job in managing all of those, the number that are ordered to that facility in the space that they have.
And the lawmakers have, I think, passed bills to deal with the emergency costs to try and repair the facility as quickly as they can.
Right. And it was tremendous when I visited the facility, how much of the repair work had been completed, you know, replacement of broken windows and cleaning up the modules that were most impacted. There's still a lot of work to do, and we have contracted for and are waiting locks and a new electronic locking system. We've ordered new doors. We have toilet facilities and sink facilities that are ordered and awaiting so that we can install them. You know, there's still too many people. I mean, it's more than that a facility was designed for. There was an effort, and they did pass some bail reform that, you know, we would like to see less people assigned to the jail facilities, because that would help us on every island all across the state.
Okay, but you haven't quite finished your review yet, so
no,
you can't tell
haven't.
Us
yes.
If you're going to sign that or not. One other thing that came up during session, a couple of your cabinet members did not get re-upped. Joby over at the Department of Hawaiian Homelands, I understand that she's been hired as a special assistant to William Ayala. You also had Ford Fujikami step down, mm-hmm. and he's over at in a civil service position over at the airport. And then also Rod Becker over
yes.
at, he was a comptroller, also working for budget and finance in a civil service position as well.
Right. You know, I mean, I think that it's terrific that we have talented individuals who are really committed to public service, you know, and clearly being a director is a very tough job, you know, and it's not unusual that we have civil service employees that actually get paid more than our directors. And so, you know, I mean, I think it's a balance. They continue to want to be a public servant and make a difference every day. And so, you know, we're trying to find a position that they can best serve the public. And I'm glad that we have talented individuals who can meet the civil service requirements and continue to provide support for our communities.
Do you think some might think that doesn't reflect well, though, on your administration, that you can't keep those people in those positions?
I mean, you know, you can look at it in a wide variety of ways, Catherine. I did advocate with the Salary Commission. You know, we're the fourth highest public payer for state government. You know, the university pays higher, so the budget director at the university gets paid more than my budget director, even though their budget is under ours. The judiciary pays more, the Department of Education pays higher than the cabinet positions, and certainly I was advocating with the Salary Commission that that makes it tough to staff. You know, we've lost some deputies to civil service positions because, you know, it's hard to fault people to want to get paid more for what they do. And so, you know, we continue to look at getting the best people into the director's positions. I'm fortunate that we've been able to assemble, again, a very, very qualified candidate. Many people would be able to make more in the private sector, but they choose to be public servants.
I also just heard that the deputy director of the Agriculture Department stepped down on Friday. Folks are wondering, well, what's going on? You know, you've had two of your cabinet members not make it through the confirmation process, you know, Joby and Rod. But, you know, here's another situation where Glenn was able to get in and get the support of the Senate, but then he stepped down.
Yeah, certainly. I think it's a challenge. You know, it does take a different kind of leader who wants to be a public servant. The demands are very challenging in a lot of different ways. Coming from private sector, many have to balance the differences about working for state government. You know, it does take longer to fill vacancies, to staff positions, to get programs started. And, you know, certainly want to thank Mr. Muranaka for agreeing to serve as deputy. And I personally wish him well. And, you know, we're committed to putting together a leadership team. Yeah, I'm committed to doubling local food production, and we've made significant progress. We will see in the next 12 to 18 months significant investment in agriculture here in the state of Hawaii, and you will see a significant increase in local food production. You know, and I'm confident that Phyllis will do a good job as director, and, you know, we are looking for a deputy.
Any idea on a time frame for a chief of staff?
No, certainly, except that we're trying to fill it as quickly as we can.
Just wondering, Governor, how are you looking at the big trial next week, the Kealoha trial?
you know, I'm glad that the trial is starting, and certainly I think all of us in our community are appreciative of those who choose to serve the community as law enforcement officers. Obviously, we have a higher standard for positions of leadership like chief of police, and I do think that our community wants to see what the outcome of this trial is. You know, in the meantime, we continue to have to serve the public. As you are aware, because of the federal investigation, Attorney General Claire Connors had requested and prosecuting attorney Keith Kaneshiro did step down while he was being investigated. I really do think that that's the appropriate thing to do. You know, we are committed to improving the public's perception of law enforcement. I still believe, and as I talk with people all across the state, that we have good law enforcement here in the islands. Yes, I look forward to what happens with these trials, because I think our community deserves to find out what happened. And clearly, if there was wrongful activities that that a jury finds, that appropriate action would be taken.
Right, we need to restore the trust, the public
Absolutely.
Trust in these positions. Anything else you'd like to underscore, Governor, just about the session? And
no, I'm looking forward to the second term. You know, I'm happy to see that the priorities continue. You know, I feel very good about where we are with affordable housing. I see in Kaka'ako that it's been different. As you know, we've dedicated a number of affordable projects in that area. All of the pieces that are necessary for affordable rentals are in place, and we are completing and moving affordable rentals out to meet my goal of 10,000 new units by 2020. And I think we are seeing the legislature embrace the whole notion of 99-year leases so that it would allow us to have for sale affordable condominiums. I think that that will be an important part of our commitment to building more houses for our members in our community.
I know that a number of lawmakers are going to be heading to Singapore to go look-see at that model.
Yes, and there will be some from the administration. I know that Craig Hirai, executive director at Hawaii Housing Finance and Development Corporation, will be part of that delegation. You know, we definitely want to have a better understanding of how it works in Singapore, and looking to bring the best practices home to Hawaii so we can create more homes for our community.
All right. Well, thank you, Governor.
Thank you.
That was Governor David Ige talking about pressing community issues, some of the bills waiting for his review, and the challenges of keeping a leadership team together as he moves into his final term in office.